I didn't recognize you thought that fat dork you hang out with me. Putting that up there and everything. And they were like, wow, Eric got it too. I was like, all right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today, and if you want to call in, Blog Talk Deeb is working today. How about that? That's a new one. 323-870-3857. Let's get started with it. Amazon Prime and DAZN last night, Deeb. Canelo Alvarez versus Jaime Munguia for the undisputed 168-pound title. Yeah. Alvarez wins the unanimous decision over Munguia by the scores of 117-110, 116-111, 115-112. I had it scored 115-112 for Alvarez. Listen, man, it was one of those things, man. You know, you go in there and you watch the first three rounds. I would say I gave the first three rounds to Munguia. He came out there and he looked so sharp, man. He really did. And I was shocked. I had never seen him fight like that. I had never seen him move like that. If he fights going forward, he should fight every fight like that. He really should. He was so good last night. You look at him, he's like, wow, he's got a lot of potential. But I forget he's 40 fights in, right? Isn't he like 40-some fights in?
Yeah, 40-some fights in. So he's got some experience, too.
Yeah, he's got some experience, you know. So in the fourth round, Steve, I texted you. I said he looked great. You texted me, said he looks great, and he gets knocked down in the fourth round, and that's pretty much where I think we jinxed him, and that's where everything went south for him. He had, I tell you what, man, it's he got clipped with an uppercut. He got caught coming in, I guess, and just got clipped and went down. I knew he looked like he was going to get back up, and he did, and able to survive, but after that, it was never the same. He never stopped trying, though. he would always come in. And he's always jabbing his way in and coming in and everything. But the problem is those shots lost a lot of zip on him.
Yeah.
And he was getting hit. And when he got hit, Canelo, like, figured him out. And when he was getting hit, he got hit hard. And I kind of wonder about the power of Munguia because Canelo took some solid, solid shots.
Yeah.
Taking
the punch as well.
Didn't move him. Yeah, he took him real well. Didn't move nothing. I mean, that guy's got an iron chin. And, I mean, didn't even budge him. You know, and he was hitting Munguia, and he was hurting Munguia at times. But, yeah, man, I was excited that Munguia was doing so well in the beginning. And, yeah, then everything just seemed to turn. Seemed to turn, man. And I gave him a couple more rounds after. I think I gave him a round or two after that. But, man, it was just, like I said, man, he was just he wasn't ready for that fight, man. He really – I don't – you know. Canelo's just a different guy. But I will tell you this, while we're on that subject, man, I didn't think Canelo looked that great at all. You know, and I didn't think Jaime, you know, was going to look that good. But I don't think Canelo looked great at all. I really don't. If you don't think he has slippage, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, now here's the thing. You can see there's a little bit off of his fastball. He wasn't as quick as he once was.
And I tell you what, he did look like he was stuck in cement in that fight. He doesn't have that movement anymore. His legs are gone.
Yeah, I will say this, though. His ring IQ is still there. His intelligence, his timing, all that's still there. But
no,
obviously,
I disagree.
Here's what it is.
His timing is gone.
Here's what it is. I think his timing is still there, but he's just not as quick as he used to be.
He can't pull the trigger. You saw it on more than one occasion last night. You could see him pull back and stop.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a feint. He was looking to throw something, He would pull back and he would stop. We've seen it a few times in that fight, man, where they're in close and he pulls back and he doesn't shoot it.
Well, like Munguia did come out hot, right? Come out fast.
You
could argue maybe it caught Canelo off guard, but then if you really think about it, Canelo's sly like a fox.
Yeah.
So he was kind of laying back and, you know, waiting for Munguia to come to him, to gauge what Munguia was going to be doing, the speed of his punches, what he was going to be throwing, check out the attack patterns. And once he started getting a feel for Munguia's speed, what he was throwing, things he was doing in there, it wasn't like Canelo was saying to himself, you know, I'm going to wait for this guy to make a mistake. It's not if this guy makes a mistake, basically. It's when he makes the mistake, and then I'm going to act on it. And he was kind of, like I said, letting the offense unfold from Munguia. And what happened was he was getting a feel for how Munguia was kind of overshooting that right hand a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when Munguia overshot that right hand, that's when, you know, Canelo would hit him with hooks, and he would, you know, dig to the body, and he snuck that uppercut in between because Munguia just came in and overshot the right hand and kind of leaned in a little bit because he really was trying to put a lot of body behind that shot. And in doing so, he kind of fell forward a bit, and that's how he got caught with the uppercut. But I don't know. I think Canelo looked good. I think it was a solid performance. I think my expectations are different from Canelo. I'm not expecting to see the Canelo that I saw in the second Triple G fight. I think that Canelo's gone.
Gone.
So maybe from my vantage point, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because you're saying to yourself, I'm comparing this version of Canelo to that 2000.
Well, I think you have to, right? I think you have to. It's fair. You're right.
It's fair. It's fair to do that. But I think I've conditioned my mind to not do that. But you know, from a realistic standpoint, I mean, that is the reality. What you're saying is the reality. Right? You're going back that far. I'm actually going back to the Ryder fight and to the Bivol fight, and I'm saying this is an improvement from that. But then your
was
counter,
it though?
Well, your counter could be, well, is it an improvement or is it just a different opponent?
Which right. Like
it. So, you know, here's what we have.
And look, we had it. You and I had it 115-112, and so did one of the judges, by the way.
Correct.
Had it 115-112. What is
he
that? Eight rounds to five. Yeah.
7 rounds to 5.
Yeah. 7 rounds to 5.
Yeah. So that's a close
fight. Right. That's not a walkover. And I get it. If you did 116 or 117, and you know what? I understand that. I understand all those. But you know what? That wasn't a walkover fight for me. He should have cleaned out Munguia. If this is the best fighter in the world, he would have walked right through Munguia, and he didn't. That was still, you know, not like we were wondering who won the fight.
No.
You know, but it was closer. It was closer than you watch those first couple rounds, man. And I tell you what, if Munguia doesn't get caught, Munguia wins that fight. I really believe that. If he doesn't get caught, he wins that fight because he looks stronger. Now, as it went on, I don't think he was stronger, but he looked stronger. You know, he looked stronger, but he was definitely faster and he was definitely moving. They had a great game plan coming in.
But going back to what I said, I think Canelo knew all along. It's not if this guy makes a mistake, it's when he makes the mistake.
For sure.
So he knew that basically there was going to be an opening at some point that he was going to be able to capitalize on. And when he got that opening, he was going to make it count. And he sure as hell did. And you could see throughout the fight, though, too, Eric, which was very surprising. We've seen Munguia, we've seen his head go back a little bit, do the bobblehead with other fighters. But we've never really seen him react like this to punches like he did when Canelo was hitting him. Like Canelo was kind of buckling him, pushing him back. He was hurting him.
He was definitely hurting him. Yeah, he was definitely hurting him.
When he was getting to him and hitting him very clean, he was hurting him. You know what I'm saying? So I was somewhat surprised at the effect that Canelo had when he hit him. I mean, I didn't think it, I knew Canelo has power, obviously. I know he could hurt guys. But he was kind of hurting him every time he hit him flush. You know what I mean? And the body as well, too. When he was starting to go to the body, you could see Munguia kind of lean down to protect that right side. So, yeah, Canelo, I think his power was still there. His conditioning was good. He didn't fade in the second half of the fight. Like, a lot of times he fades. I don't think he faded. I think he actually came on strong as the fight wore on. So here's the million-dollar question that we're going to ask. Did you see anything in that fight to lead you to believe that if and when, well, when he fights Benavidez,
he's not fighting Benavidez, son. I done told you that.
Already done. But when he's already done.
Right.
Yeah, it's already done.
Let me tell you what. I'm talking to my boy Coppinger. That's right. I'm talking to him, and I'll find out the straight dope from him. All right? And I guarantee you, he thinks just like I do. That fight ain't happening.
Like, that guy's like Mother Goose, man. All he does is talk fairy tales. So, was there anything last night that you saw that would lead you to believe that he could, that he would beat Devin Benavidez?
No. Absolutely. In fact, after watching that fight last night, does anybody want to see him fighting Benavidez? That's a walkover.
I want to see the passing of the torch.
Why? Why do you want to watch a fight that you know what the outcome is going to be?
I'm a ceremonial type person.
I guess we kind of do anyway. I mean, I guess we do that anyway.
I'm a ceremonial type person. I like nostalgia.
I like tradition.
I like tradition.
David Benavidez is going to go up there. He's going to smash Gavot's dick, and he's going to beat the winner. He's going to fight the winner of Bivol versus Beterbiev. You know, if he can get his leg out.
So he got injured. What's today? May?
It'll be late this year. We're looking at October, May, okay, 12, May, June, July, August,
12 weeks,
September,
12 weeks.
October, November.
So November.
Because that'll be 12 weeks and 12 weeks, yep.
So, yeah, November the fight will happen, right? November, December the latest.
In November, yep.
Okay, all right.
And that way, Benavidez will fight him in November. He can get ready for that fight. And then Canelo's going to fight Berlanga in September.
Here's the bright spot about that. Sometimes, you know, you say, oh, shit, we're not going to get that fight in June. That sucks. Okay, that's fine. But here's the bright spot. That 5v5 card without Bivol Beterbiev on it,
still good.
A great card.
It's still good.
So now they postpone that to later in the year.
Now we get
another card.
Right. Yeah, that card's still going on. The Wilder and
Zhang. I'm saying that they postponed the Beterbiev-Bivol fight
later in the year. Right.
Now we get another fight on top of that.
Yeah.
So this has been a great
year. Riyadh season's not playing around, man.
No.
Love Riyadh season.
Alhamdulillah, man. Turkey Ala Sheikh is taking over. Man.
Turkey Ala Sheikh and Ryan Garcia, crazy Ryan Garcia, are my new two favorite people.
Assalamu alaikum, baby. We're back in business here.
There it is. Sheikh. What ads mid-show? You talking about the pay-per-view. Okay. He was like Demetrio saying the ads mid-show. And I think he's talking about, he's not talking about us. Talking about the pay-per-view and where they had like commercials on it and everything like that. I can't really complain too much, but I get it. I mean, realistically, do you think Benavidez walks over Canelo? I know you would bet on Benavidez.
Yes.
Is there anything that you saw last night that would change that?
No, it kind of reinforced my theory.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Crawford walks him, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think Crawford beats him at this point.
I think Crawford could beat him.
Yeah, I think Crawford beats him at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I said, man, I don't see any way he beats Benavidez. I would choose Benavidez over Bivol. All right, and we know how good of a boxer Bivol is.
Yeah,
I take Benavidez over either one of those two.
Yeah, Vosick is 37 years old. He's only had two fights since he's come back. And they weren't against top-level guys, so you don't really know if he gets pushed like he was pushed in that Beterbiev fight, how he's going to respond to that. Because I think it's safe to say that most likely David Benavidez will push him, you know, similarly to how Beterbiev did. He's a pressure guy. Like, you saw what he did to Plant. You saw what he did to Andre.
Yep.
I mean, he's gonna do that. So,
yeah, he's a pressure guy. So yeah, he's gonna, you know, and the same thing, like last night on those first couple rounds, man, when McGee kind of put pressure on him a lot of times all night. I mean, he was really trying to, you know, he was game plan, but you know, Canelo doesn't fight that great on the back foot. And what's he going to do against a guy? I mean, listen, and he's a big guy. Benavidez is a big guy.
Here's the big problem, like, because no disrespect to Munguia, but Munguia is not the quickest guy in the world. And even Canelo said after the fight, like, he's slower than me. So that helped me.
Well,
Benavidez is quick. He's very fast on his feet and with his hand speed.
And I thought, I tell you what, foot speed, Munguia was walking all over. I mean, he was dancing all around him. I mean, McGee's footwork looked good last night. It looked a lot better than I've seen it, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people said Benavidez is not a power puncher. It's not blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you, man, I think he's the real deal, man. I really do. I think he's the guy.
He fought David LeBeau. David Benavidez did.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't think Canelo, like I said, I think Canelo is a trophy. I don't think he's a challenge. For Benavidez,
I mean, people are gonna sit there and they're gonna tear anybody that you like that's gonna be looked at as an opponent for Canelo. Oh, wait, the scrutiny that they're under is unreal. Oh,
well, you sure?
Oh, what has he done? He hasn't never did this. Never, like, again, like, you. What is that? You can't bring your box. You can't print out your box rec, take it in the ring with you, and say, hey, here it is. Here's my box rec. I win. You got to fight the fight. Like, no one's done anything until they actually do it.
Right.
Nobody fights anybody until they fight somebody. Like this whole notion, like, let people have their time.
Yeah.
Let people have their moment. Let the torch be passed. Stop with the log jam. And again, Canelo can do whatever he wants, but there's repercussions with that. I don't know. Are any of you in the chat going to spend $90 for that for a Belanga fight?
No.
Are you gonna be happy with that?
No way.
At some point, there's going to be backlash. There's going to be backlash. So guess what it is.
Nando Yama says Munguia still got a bright future. Yeah, for
100%.
Sure. I tell you what. Yeah, I looked at him. You know, last night I would absolutely watch him fight again. You know what I mean? He was. I thought he looked good. I really did. I thought he looked good.
So here's the thing, man. Like, again, Canelo can do whatever he wants. And then everyone sits there and says, oh, well, what about all these other fighters who were in a position like Canelo? They picked and choose when it was their time to pick and choose, blah, blah, blah.
No, we criticize them too.
But here's what everyone's missing. Or I don't know if they're missing it or they just don't care or they're just overlooking it or they're just pretending they don't care or they're just pretending they don't see it. Canelo has all four of the belts. Mayweather never had all four belts. So at least if Mayweather wasn't going to fight you, you still had a path to a title. Like, none of these guys have a path to a title unless Canelo fights them.
Right, because he's undisputed.
So if you guys want to use this logic that in order for someone to fight Canelo, they got to go through a fucking King of the Ring, WWE type tournament so they can get a title shot, then I mean, then who's he going to fucking spend? No one can fight him.
Has anybody ever been a three-division undisputed champion?
Men's? Not that I know of, no. So if
Crawford gets that fight, that's huge.
Yeah, I'd love to see Crawford.
How amazing would that be? What else? I mean, dude, that's best ever territory right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, realistically, that's best ever territory right there.
Yeah, so.
That's the best to ever lace him up. If he goes out there and it becomes a three-time undisputed, all the belts, son.
Oh, I love that.
All the belts. If he goes out there and becomes a three-time undisputed champ, son, what are you going to say? You can't say Floyd is better. You can't say anybody. I don't care what your record is. I don't care if he has losses going out the door. Three-time undisputed champion, son. Nobody does that.
And
nobody.
One thing Crawford could say.
In the weight. I mean.
One thing Crawford could say. He never had an iffy fight, right? There was never a decision that was like, oh, did he really?
No.
No. Here's another thing too, Eric. when you get older, right, you start moving up in weight.
Yeah.
Most fighters, their knockout percentage starts going down. This guy's knockout percentage is gone up since he's moved up in weight.
Did you see him in the weight room? That guy is strong. That guy is real strong.
Now,
not to mention
concern,
the wrestling he does and everything like that. Yeah.
My only concern is the inactivity coupled up with the age. But again, the guy is such a freak out.
He looks pretty active to me. I don't know. He always looks in shape.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm talking about active in terms of being consistent with fight.
No, I know you are. I know you are. And I know they're two different things, but he's never far out of shape.
Correct. So that's a plus too. You know what I mean? He's always, so in other words, when he's not fighting, unlike most fighters, at least he still stays in shape and he's working out and he's in condition. So that's a different thing too. And he lives a clean life. He's not a partier. He's a family man.
Reminds me of Bernard Hopkins a little bit, you know?
Yes. Much so. Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah. Let's see. Drunk Irishman says they have been three division undisputed champions, but that's going back 60, 70 years. Who are they? If you know, let me know.
Oh, I'm not.
He's talking about the WBA, WBC era, or even before that.
I'm trying to remember if there was. If you go back 50, 60 years, there was a time when there was only one belt.
Right.
You know, two
nobody's
belts.
Done it. Well, I'll say this: nobody's done it in the modern era.
No one's done it no one's done it even in the three belt. Again, when Henry Armstrong did it, there was only one belt in each division.
But you know what? I'm okay with that. I mean, Henry Armstrong. I mean,
still good with it though.
Well, sure.
Well, to Henry Armstrong's credit, he did something that probably no one will ever do. He did it. He held all three titles simultaneously, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's amazing. That guy was amazing.
I take that back. So shout out to Drunken Irishman. Even though it was a multiple belt era, here's what you have to. Here's why it's even more impressive, because it's one belt, but that was at the time when there was only eight divisions, not the 17 that we have now.
Right.
So.
Right. Boxing Addict 420 says Crawford beating Canelo at 168. That's a joke. Is it?
I don't think so.
Is it?
I would pick him.
I would pick him too, especially after what I saw last night. Canelo's a court low, son. Get used to it. And listen, and for all you guys who think I'm a Canelo hater out there, listen, man, babe, you know me. I love Canelo. But listen, we got to call it like we see it. The picture right over here. I got two pictures of Canelo right over here on my wall. So, listen, man, it is, you know, I like fighters, but I also have to tell the truth, too. We also have to be honest on this show. And we have to call it like we see it. And we've seen, I've told you about the slippage for quite a while now.
Yeah.
You know? Aaron Daly said, I've never heard of Crawford getting injured either, freak athlete. Yeah, I've never heard of it either. He's never pulled out. Did Sugar Ray also win the initial title? Yeah, but it wasn't undisputed, though. There was two belts when he beat Donnie Lalonde. That was at 175, though.
Yeah, he won the inaugural WBC 168-pound title, but I think the IBF was the first to create that division, if I'm not mistaken. I want to say the IBF was the first sanctioned body to create that decision. WBC followed shortly thereafter, I think. But, yeah, he was their inaugural 168-pound champion. That is correct.
Yeah. Trying to think here. Yeah, Eric and Joe Jesus M says Eric and Joe, no, Benavides and Crawford beat fake Nello.
He's like fight doctor. He's giving Canelo like these
yeah.
He's like these Trumpian type names.
Jesus says take those pictures down. That's funny, man. This is great. Yeah, and he said Dwayne is 100% right here. He said, don't feel bad if you think Canelo isn't the second coming of Jesus Christ. That makes you a hater these days. That's right.
there's no middle ground with Canelo, it seems.
Yeah. And I guarantee you, Lan, is if Tyson Fury loses his fight against Usyk, B will be the first one to say he lost the fight. You're not going to see him in there camping for him. It just is. That's his favorite fighter. But at the end of the day,
I thought Ngannou beat him.
I thought Ngannou beat him too.
But here's the difference between me and a lot of other people too. If you lose as a fighter, that doesn't mean you're still not great. I don't follow this Mayweather construct era where you have to be undefeated to be a great fighter. Supposedly the best pound-for-pound fighter that everyone likes to say is the best pound-for-pound fighter of all time, Sugar Ray Robinson. He had 19 losses. So, I mean...
Yeah, what about that? You know, Ali had quite a few losses, too. So, you know...
I don't follow the Mayweather construct. I mean, I'm not trying to be a boxing snob, but...
Listen, man, to break the record, Woody, to break the record, right, he fought a guy with no professional fights.
Yeah.
Really? And you guys are still behind that? I can't get behind that.
And the Marciano family to this day is just disgusted by that, too.
Yeah, they should be. They should be. I mean, honestly, they should be.
Yeah.
Because that's all. He only did it to get that record. Am I surprised Canelo thanked Al Haymon? No. Why would not? Why would he not thank Al Haymon? Al Haymon, him. I tell you what, PBC is doing great with him. PBC is doing great. Pay-per-view buys. Cinco de Mayo in Las Vegas. Two big Mexicans on the card. 400,000.
Think 400K?
Yep.
Okay.
And again, you know, you know, just like I do, if you don't hear the numbers, you know it flopped. Just like that. Did anybody hear about that Garcia fight? I see numbers out there, 1.5 million, but nothing solid. I guarantee that fight flopped.
Yeah.
Mars says 800K. Yeah. There you go. All right, let's talk about a little bit about this press conference leading into this before we move on here. So we have De La Hoya in there, and he went over there and I guess just, you know, he let go and started dissing Canelo and everything like that. Canelo gets up and they, you know, it was over, you know, they almost came to blows. They didn't almost come to blows, trust me. There was too many people in between them that they're not gonna
Canelo, I don't think Canelo would have hit him either.
I don't think he would have either. I think he would have gotten a space, and I think if Oscar would have said something else, he probably might have smacked him. I mean, look at the Canelo, the plant fight, you know? I mean, remember the plant face-off where he just threw, man. He wasn't even messing around. He just threw. What is up with De La Hoya, man? He's taking a lot of stuff away from the fight. He's like, what does he think? He's getting in Canelo's head? He's not getting in Canelo's head.
Canelo don't care, man.
Canelo don't care about that guy.
Canelo's hilarious, too.
Leave it. Just leave it, man.
Let it go, man.
Yeah. And he wore that shirt at the weigh-in about the way, he says, you know, he accused Canelo of, you know, getting busted for drugs and everything like that. Meanwhile. Yeah, well, you know where I'm going with that. Ryan Garcia gets busted. We'll talk about that later. But, yeah, Ryan Garcia gets busted for PEDs or whatever. Your guy. Golden Boy's guy. You know, but the other guy, yeah, he's a drug cheat and everything like that. See, this is why you should just shut up. This is why you shut up and let things play out. MAZ Box says, Haney Garcia did not flop. What am I talking about? Well, great. You're right. Where's the numbers? Where's the numbers? Did you read on some boxing site that they got 1.5 million or something stupid? Where are the numbers?
Yeah.
Because nobody, absolutely nobody has substantiated it. And listen, I'm happy if it was a bust. I really am. Because I hate pay-per-view model. I hate that model. I don't want to have to pay for this. I don't want to pay $90. 90, Beeb. 90?
$90.
For that, what we got last night, 90.
You know, the people in the UK are paying like fucking $20. Yeah.
Look, man, Turkey a la Sheik, he comes out with a $90 card. I'm buying it. Because look who he's got on his cards. He's putting the whole thing together. Like, those are like Don King cards. You crazy? So, anyway, MAZ Box, listen, man, we're going to be here all night. Feel free to let me know where you found that this fight wasn't a flop. Because as far as not even Rick Laser had the numbers. That tells you it's a flop. Listen, and there's no sense of getting attached to it. Like, they weren't bringing that money home to you.
Hilarious.
Right. Let's bring Robert on here.
First off, Robert.
Hello, guys.
Robert.
Hello, guys.
You're live.
Robert, you have my sympathy. First of all, Robert, you have my sympathy. I mean, think
why?
About this, Robert.
Yeah, that's what I say. Why?
I have to give you my sympathies because, I mean, you've already made it public that you are on a fixed income, right? So
yeah. You
had to buy a $90 pay-per-view, then you have to buy a $70 pay-per-view, right? And another, like Fury versus Usyk, and then you got to pay another $70 pay-per-view in June, and then you got to pay another $70 pay-per-view in August. I mean, you're on a fixed income,
you know,
man. I feel bad for you, man. And here's the problem.
Joe,
did you pay $90 for that fight, Robert?
Said.
Did you pay $90? Did he pay $90 for that fight?
Did you pay?
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. Robert, you didn't.
Now,
you and Mr. Jarek will not be able to go to Applebee's for the rest of the year, You and Mrs. Jarek will not be able to go to Applebee's for the rest of the year because of all this pay-per-view money you're spending, right?
Okay.
And you'll be
eating
peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the rest of the year because of all this money that you're spending on pay-per-views. I think it's horrible. I feel bad. Now, I'm going to implore the chat. Please give us some super chats so we can allocate these funds to the Robert Herrick pay-per-view fund. And I guarantee you these funds will be shuttled into his account. No questions asked. All right? Please. This guy is going to be spending $300 in the next couple of months on pay-per-view.
He's cold-blooded, dude.
On a fixed income. Please, help us out here. Help him out, please. Go ahead, Robert. I'm sorry. I don't want to steal your thunder.
$90. Was it worth the 90?
Is he still there?
No, he's off. What happened?
Did he hang up?
I don't know. Let me see. Oh, he dropped.
All right.
Cold-blooded.
He couldn't even pay the phone bill because all the money went to pay-per-views.
Stop it.
Help this guy out, people.
All right, here. Let me get back on here.
Sorry about that, guys.
All right.
You couldn't even pay the phone bill because all the money you're spending on pay-per-views.
No.
Robbie,
I'm on a new phone service that works off of cell towers, and it will cut off at random.
That's
not sugarcoat
this, please. You didn't pay the bill.
Anyway,
Top ramen for Robbie here on out.
Like Eric said, Joe, I don't mind paying for the Saudi Arabia cards because I know I'm going to get my money's worth. I'm very disappointed in last night because I think Canelo could have put him away if he wanted to.
Week was going to happen.
Even if he knocked him out, would it still have been worth $90?
Been more entertaining.
No, and Joe, I explained to you when I ordered the paper.
You're grasping at straws now, Robert. You're just trying to justify that horrible purchase you made. But
no, can I talk, please? I explained to you when I ordered the fight that I think DAZN was forced into charging $90 because they were sharing the pay-per-view with Prime Video. And Prime, Prime customers should get a discount because they're Prime members. But Prime Video, Amazon is going to be out for as much money as they can get for these fights. And because, if you notice, PBC has not scheduled very many events. They had the one in March. They had the one last night. They've got the one on June 15th. We probably will not get another PBC pay-per-view until Mexican Independence Day, weekend. You know, PBC is going to be very scarce with their pay-per-views, and when they put them together, they're going to think they're the Saudis, and they're going to try and charge as much as possible. But their quality of their cards are going to suck.
What was the card worth $90?
No, absolutely not. No.
But you still bought it.
You paid it. Yeah, I know. But you knew they're going in, though. Is that fair, Robert?
Of course.
Is that fair, though? Did you? I mean,
let
me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You knew. Now, hindsight says, of course, the card was not worth $90, right?
Right.
Did you know beforehand that the card was not going to be worth $90?
No, I did not.
That's fair.
He knew beforehand.
I'll stop it.
He knew
beforehand. He gave you an answer.
He knew that wasn't a nine. I scored nine rounds to three.
By the way.
Yeah, that doesn't.
I mean, you're corrupt. Doesn't matter. But let me ask you this: are you going to spend $90 on Canelo versus Berlanga?
Fuck no! Edson Berlanga does not deserve that fight.
Okay. Jaime Munguia did
a hell of a lot more to earn that fight than Edgar Berlanga is still living off the fame of knocking out 16 consecutive people in the first round. Edgar Berlanga hasn't done crap. Edgar Berlanga hasn't done crap since he stopped that streak, and he's not worth it. Canelo is going to pick and choose somebody like Berlanga because he's at the stage now where he's going to avoid Benavidez. He's going to avoid Terrence Crawford because he does not want to suffer another loss. He's going to pull out of the Floyd Mayweather playbook and pick and choose who he wants to fight, and it'll be nobody that we care for. It'll be nobody that we're interested in going forward.
So do you think he fights Benavidez?
Absolutely not, because David would kill him.
I was going to say, do you give him a chance against Benavidez?
No, I think Crawford would.
I don't give him any chance against Benavidez.
I think David would kill him. So.
And I told you guys, everybody laughed at me when I said Crawford, didn't they? Everybody laughed now. Yeah. What happened?
And you know what?
Crawford, son.
When that fight happens in August, that Magomedov that he's fighting has only had 11 fights. He's going to be in way over his head. He doesn't realize what he's dealing with Terrence Crawford.
Why are you shitting all over the card, Robert? There's no need for that.
That's cold-blooded.
No,
that's Turkey's
I'm
card.
I'm crapping all over the main event, not the card, because Terrence
the main
is going
event, no.
Terrence is going to put on another display, okay?
Hey, you're not going to come over here and crap all over Riyadh season. I got news for you.
No, I'm
all
talking
right,
about
Riyadh
the main
season
event, Eric.
It's pulling boxing
I'm talking
out of
the
crap. You know what I'm saying?
It's
putting on
a
big stage.
It's going to be a mismatch.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people versus Crawford is going to be a mismatch.
That's correct. Terrence keeps himself in such good shape. He'll fight until he's 40.
King KO says Crawford shouldn't even consider going after Canelo at 168. Canelo would damage him. I don't know.
No,
man.
He won't.
I don't know about that.
No, he won't.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Not sure about that.
Yeah, Dwayne brings up a good point about Berlanga, too, is that he was talking to him and Caleb Plant were really going at it. But it is May, June, July, August, September, and I don't know that Berlanga's getting that shot. I'll be honest with you. Nobody's going to want to watch it.
And Robbie's
Eric,
right. They had to charge so much for that pay-per-view because of
who's the other option?
Because the amount of money Canelo won.
The other option, believe it or not, would be the other Charlo brother, and that's even worse.
Yeah. It's one of those two. I think it's one of those two. When does Crawford fight? When is that Riyadh card?
August 3rd. August 3rd. Yeah.
Then he can't fight. Crawford. He can't fight Crawford. Oh,
he's not going to be able to fight Berlanga because no one's going to pay for that fight.
No.
Got to be David next.
It's not going to be David next.
Well,
got to be
Joe,
David next.
What happens because he's fighting June 15th? Is June 15th enough time
In my opinion, they'll push that fight back till December. Canelo's moved off that September date a few times. Fought Caleb Plant.
Okay.
In what, November?
Yeah. That's right.
When did he fight Charlo? Didn't he push that a couple weeks back too?
Yes, he did.
So.
Yeah, he did.
If the money's right, Canelo will gladly fight in December, I would think. No?
Well, like he said last night, you give me enough money, I'll fight anybody. But it's going to have to – Saudi Arabia is going to have to get involved if you want to see him fight Crawford or Benavidez.
David will make 168 for the right – for Canelo. He's already said he would do that. I don't think he'll do it for anyone else.
the check.
He would make 168
extra large.
Or 160. What did you say?
168.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Canelo.
Yeah.
But don't don't you agree the check would have to be extra large for both of them to do that?
I don't think Benavidez will mean
No, I don't think Benavidez is going to get a big check, no. I mean it'll
Benavidez,
be a big check, don't get me wrong, but not like Canelo's, no.
Yeah.
Benavidez would take the fight for $5
million.
Because
okay.
Benavidez
right.
wants what comes – Benavidez, I believe, is thinking about what comes after I beat Canelo. You know?
Well,
I would start thinking what comes after we beat Bivol or Butterbeef.
Joe, I believe that David Benavidez, if he ever gets the Canelo fight, would beat him. And I think, and once he goes to light heavyweight, I think he becomes the best light heavyweight in the world.
Who, Benavidez?
Yeah.
You think he beats?
Yeah.
You think he beats both Bivol and Butterbeef?
Who's been saying that, babe?
Absolutely.
You've been saying that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think he beats Bivol, but Butterbeef has been so injury prone. Like he's got to be. I don't know. Butterbeef scares me.
He's 39, and at any point when he gets in that ring, he can look.
He can, but he's a scary dude, that guy.
Yeah, he is, and he hasn't. And to his credit, he hasn't. He's always looked good when he got in there. But again, he's 39.
Yeah.
And then you're going against a younger guy, a guy that moves a lot, a guy that can box very well, can throw you off his game. Bivol's got to be one of the best boxers out right now. Best pure technical boxer.
Very good fighter. Very good fighter.
Well, how do you think Benavidez will do against Bivol, Eric?
I think he walks him.
I think he beats Bivol.
Yeah.
I think he beats Bivol easy. I think he beats Butterbeef easy. I think he moves up.
Once he establishes himself at light heavyweight, he becomes the number one light heavyweight in the world.
And also then people – look, he's 6'2". I'll follow Usyk again.
6'3".
There
Usyk
you go.
Usyk is like 6'4". 6'4".
6'3", Robert. Stop lying.
Well, okay. 6'3".
You
know I mean? Sorry about that. I don't have box records
telling people
like you do.
You walk around telling people you have 6 feet, man, and you're like 5'3".
Lance Meyer said 39 is the new 93.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Benavidez was the largest 168-pounder in the history of the sport. He's right. He was huge.
Yeah, he's big.
He's a big guy.
No.
Butterbeef just
threw out of here. I think David could eventually go up the cruiserweight and do well up there.
I think Benavidez, and I've said this and people like, I think he goes to heavyweight.
Wow.
I think he goes to heavyweight.
Eric, with the way he's built, that wouldn't shock me at all.
He's weighed over 200 pounds before. He's lost a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him go above 200 pounds again.
There you go. All right, Robert, we're going to get running here. We'll keep you on hold. What's up?
All right. Oh.
Get lost.
Get lost, man. What's the matter with you? 410, you're live.
What's up there, Mr. Potato Head?
How you doing? Baltimore. What's up, man?
What's up, Dweeb?
What's happening,
Dweeb? All right, buddy. In my estimation, if you watch that Canelo Jaime fight with the sound off, you might think Jaime won that fight. That fight was close, man. That guy was on his front foot the entire night. He was throwing six,
we had a
seven,
yeah.
8-punch combinations. No, they weren't all landing, but he was landing pretty good, man, both to the body and the head. That was a close fight, maybe separated by that knockdown. That was a beautiful uppercut from Canelo. His counterpunching was on point. His timing with that is still on point, but he's getting that work, man. Jaime, his stock raised tremendously, if you ask me, because in my opinion, outside of that knockdown, the fight was basically a draw because he was outworking Canelo. He was landing plenty of punches. Only thing is the commentating, Joe Goosen, especially, he was on Canelo's nuts like it was some type of tropical succulent fruit. It was fucking ridiculous. And, Canelo would know.
What a weird description.
What an analogy that is, man. I mean, you don't have mirrors hanging over your bed or anything like that.
That had to be. You had to heard that before because that was weird.
Nah, buddy, I'm just saying, whatever you do is all good.
You don't have strawberry condoms at your house, do you?
Hey, listen, we don't discriminate here. You know what I'm saying?
Canelo would throw a shot, right? And it would land on Jaime's arm. And whether he intended to do that or not, that's nothing new in boxing. Boxers do that. But whether he intended or not, Joe Goosen, oh, Jesus. Canelo's so smart. He's so good. Meanwhile, Jaime, in those 6, 7, 8 punch combinations, a lot of those punches were landing on Canelo's arms and shoulders. They never said one thing about it. Not one thing. The commentating, man, if you turn the sound off in that fight, you might think Jaime won and even kicked Canelo's ass in a lot of spots. Because he when he was coming forward, a lot of times, and he was on his front foot the whole night. It was a good fight. I had Canelo maybe by a point. That's it. The 115-112 card, that's the closest I could get to because I can't pay attention
to...
That's what we had.
I would say, I don't know, man. I just think it was a close fight. And my other impression is, yeah, Canelo is flat out ducking David Benavidez, and it's a shame because I never thought Canelo the ducking type, and I don't think he has been, but at this point I just think he is. He's doing what we call, and you guys know, he's pricing himself out of the fight. Nobody's going to pay $150 to $200 million. I don't even think the Saudis are going to shell out for that. You know, that
he's too big.
Price himself. Well, I disagree with you in that when you say, well, if you think it's going to be easy for Benavidez. I could see him beating Canelo, but it ain't going to be easy. Canelo's chin is just too good, and he's too much of a competitor, even at this point. I could see him losing to Benavidez, but I don't think it'll be easy. But he just doesn't want to fight him. You never hear Canelo. I've never heard him in the past mention money, whether it was Golovkin, this one, that one. Didn't matter. I've never heard him make money.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Well, he never did do that. You're right. Right.
But with this fight, he's making it about the money, which you know, should tell you something. And to his credit, because he gets badgered with David's name a lot, which he should, because like you said, Dweeb, he's the undisputed champion. You're the undisputed champion. You're a top 10 pound-for-pound fighter, and you command a lot of money. We got to keep the bar high for you when it comes to opponents. You see what I mean? He seems to think that
Absolutely.
He can just... Yeah, he seems to think that he can just do whatever he wants. Well, maybe he can, but don't expect people to shell out for it, man, because when you're in the position you are, we got to keep the bar high. And you know, no other sport, like if let's say you're a running back in the NFL, you've been in the league 8, 9 years, you got some miles on you. A couple of years back, you rushed for 1,500 yards for a season or two. Well, when you go to sign to a new team, they're not going to pay you on what you did. They're not going to pay you on what you did then. They're going to pay you on what they think you can do for them now. And that's where I'm at with Canelo. You know, he's talking about Mayweather and I fought everybody. Hey, man, you're still an active fighter. You're commanding big purses, and you're an undisputed champion. That's just how it is. If you want to fight walkovers, do what Mayweather did. Retire and fight exhibitions. But, you know.
The problem, Jerry, is he has all four titles, man. You shouldn't be able to log jam that division like that, man. And these sanctioning bodies are going to be cowards. They're not going to force these mandatories. And the WBC, man,
they're horrible.
They tell David Benavidez, oh, if you go up to 175, we'll give you an interim title at light heavyweight. It's like they'll do anything.
Yeah.
To manipulate and pacify these fighters, man, just so they can fucking block these, like, so they can coddle their fucking golden gooses.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
No doubt about it, bro.
Look, he's undisputed.
No doubt about it.
He's got a fight just like Klitschko fought. You know what I mean? Klitschko fought guys we never heard of because they were mandatories.
Yeah. Hey, man.
And I don't see Canelo doing that. He's not.
Yeah. The sanctioning bodies, I mean, it's no revelation. I've known for years, and I'm sure you do. The sanctioning bodies and the promoters and boxing as a whole, it's corrupt as can be. And there's just a zillion examples of how it's corrupt. The only thing that gives boxing any structure at all is making weight. That's the only thing, because it's sure as hell not the promoters. It's not the sanctioning bodies. Those rankings are bought and paid for. Like you said, they protect, you know, they make up the rules as they go along, the WBC. But it's all of them. It's all of them, really. They all do it. And it's just pure junk. And, you know, so the only thing we can do is, as consumers, is say, hey, I'm either going to buy this or I'm not. I bought that card last night because I'm a boxing fan, and I've been working real hard. I wanted to treat myself. I knew it was going to be a good fight regardless of who won. And another thing is Jaime was up against it, and also that he was going to have to knock Canelo out to win that fight. He wasn't going to win that fight on points, in my estimation, unless he scored several knockdowns, which is unlikely, because that's why I don't think Canelo will be easy for Benavidez or anyone. A guy's fucking chin is like a corner of a concrete building. He can take some serious heat. And, you know, while I would pick Benavidez over him at this point, I don't see that being easy. And also, I could see Crawford beating him. Yeah, I could see that. Now, I can also see him knocking out Bud Crawford, because the reality is, you know, he is a hard puncher. But I think it should have been evident to everyone last night, and I've defended Canelo in the past, in that Canelo is never the bigger guy. Jaime looked huge in there against
never.
Canelo.
Jaime looked huge.
Yeah, he fucking looked huge. And the cat just moved up to 68 not that long ago. Canelo's been there for four years. Yeah, Canelo is never the bigger guy. He's basically a blown-up junior middleweight. How he got that thick and heavy at that height, I don't know, but that's what he is. But he's never the bigger guy. But he's a bad motherfucker, though, Canelo. I'm not trying to tear him down. You know, I'm just saying, you know, 60-plus fights, he's not quite the same guy he was when he ran through Saunders and, you know, Kovalev, and when he went on that super middleweight run, you know. But no, the car wasn't worth $90. No.
There you go. All right, Jared, we're going to get rolling, man. Thank you so much for calling
in.
Baltimore. All right, 917, New York. You're live.
Hey, guys. What's up, man?
Maybe you're not.
Man, I have almost
nothing
to say. Yeah, good. That last caller pretty much touched all the bases. Everything he said was just about spot on. Excellent, excellent call.
Jerry calls in and drops knowledge every week, man. Eric can't deal with that knowledge.
That
I'm
thinking
Baltimore.
Yeah, the only thing I'll disagree with him on, though, I watched the fight with the sound on, but I'm not sure if I would have scored it, you know, like more closely than it was. I do feel like Munguia won like 3-4 rounds. But I don't think that I was swayed by the commentary, but, you know, fair. He was so accurate with everything else he said. Maybe I should watch it with the sound off and see what I think, to be honest with you.
You should watch it with the sound off, standing on one foot with your finger on your nose like that.
Hey, but what I will say, though, is, like, Canelo, you know, everyone wants to, you know, talk about legacy and avoiding Benavidez, but there's another dynamic here. Like, progressively, I suspect his sales, like, in terms of generating interest for the people he's fighting, it must be going down. Speaking to your point, like, how many pay-per-view buys you think? Like, I told my friends this fight was going on. No one talked about this fight. Nobody I know mentioned this fight to be. Nobody was talking about this. Only hardcore boxing fans. So he's basically, like, milking, you know, like, a declining base of interested people to watch his fights. And of course, he's, you know, he has that really strong Mexican fan base that's like his most loyal fan base paying for this stuff. But me, I mean, and everyone else I know, I didn't hear anyone talking about this. But at some point, he's going to have to fight a real name to maintain his status and paydays even. Like, it's got to be going down. Like, if you run math, I suspect they need a name in there against him for it to make sense to pay him a big paycheck, because he probably has a floor amount that he's willing to take at this point. Personally, Berlanga, zero interest. zero interest after watching that last fight. Like, I have no reason to tune into that. The other Charlo, no interest to tune into that. It's funny because, yeah, Bud Crawford's smaller than coming up from lighter weight classes. But, yeah, I got a lot of interest in that fight. I will pay money to watch that fight. What more do you need than that? And, again, like the last caller said, to be fair to Canelo, he's always a smaller guy in the ring. You're right? He's always a smaller guy in the ring. So if the criticism against Canelo is you're fighting an coming up in weight Bud Crawford, he could say, well, look at all these guys I'm fighting. They're fucking 6'2" and coming in probably 200 pounds. I'm finally fighting a guy who wants the same opportunity I had fighting bigger guys. Yeah, maybe it's a slight edge for me, but I done it also. And he should just shut it down right there and put a fight on that fans actually want to see if he's not going to fight Benavidez. At least Crawford's got the talent, the skills, the actual boxing IQ to make something out of it that I want to see. I don't want to see these other guys anymore. I'm not interested. I'm telling you. And I think other fans probably feel the same way, except for his hardcore fans. And I love Canelo. He fought great last night, by the way. It's fun to watch his skills and him picking his shots. And you see the power in his ability to take a shot, like everyone is calling out, has mentioned. But at the end of the day, it's not worth my money, period. That's all I want to say. I'm going to end it right there.
All right, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate your call. New York City. All right, so let's get back to it here. The undercard here, we're going to zip through this. Brandon Figueroa versus Jesse Magdaleno for the WBC Interim Featherweight Championship. Figueroa knocks out Magdaleno with a body shot in the ninth. Mario Barrios versus Fabian Maidana, the WBC interim welterweight title, 116-111. All three judges give Barrios the win. That was a weird fight, Beeb. That was a really weird fight. And I bet on Fabian to win. You know, I didn't put much into it because he was a heavy underdog, so I bet him. But I'll tell you what, that kid has got some power, but there's something missing. You know what I mean? There's definitely something missing because Barrios looked a lot bigger, looked a lot stronger, and then you look at the end of the fight. There's no way, if you didn't see any rounds and you looked at those two guys, that you thought Barrios won that fight. No way. His face was completely hamburger.
And it's funny, too, because Barrios was the one backing him up. Barrios was the one that seemed to be hurting him. And even though Barrios' face was getting busted up,
He was getting clipped. Yeah, he was getting clipped. You could see his knees shake and everything like that sometimes with those crosses. Yeah. He came across with a couple of hooks that shook him. You could see him, but as much of a beating he was taking, he was never, like, on Queer Street or anything like that. He was never out of the fight or in danger. It didn't look like any danger of going down.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, sure was.
It was bizarre at the end of the fight. If you didn't watch the fight and you just looked at their faces, you're going to say Barrios, Barrios got wrecked, right?
Got wrecked.
What a bizarre thing that was.
Yeah. Imanta Stanionis versus Gabriel Maestro, WBA regular welterweight title. Stanionis wins 119-109, 118-110, and 117-111. Pretty one-sided, Beeb.
Yeah. Pretty fun fight to watch, but Stanionis definitely he was definitely pushing the pace, and he was the more stronger of the two. And,
for sure.
Maestro really couldn't do anything to keep him off. We all know how Stanionis fights. And he's a aggressive pressure fighter, very good on the inside. He's what I like to call a grinder. And, I think that since these other guys moved up, I think him and Barrios is a great fight. I hope they can do that next.
Yeah, that's a good fight. That's a real good fight, man. All right, let's talk about the upcoming fights here tomorrow. And I read this at 4 a.m. I'm imagining on ESPN Plus at 4 a.m. This gets started. This is the fight between Naoya Inoue versus Luis Nery, 12 rounds for Inoue's junior featherweight undisputed championship. That's a good fight, babe.
Absolutely.
That's a good fight. On the undercard, Takuma Inoue versus Sho Ishida for Inoue's WBA bantamweight title. Jason Maloney, who seems to be always on these cards, versus Yoshiki Takai, 12 rounds for Maloney's WBO bantamweight title. And there you go. And that's going to happen on ESPN Plus. Again, 4 a.m. time. But that main event, that ain't getting started till like 7 or 8. I love these cards, Beeb. You love them too because they're on a weekday right in the morning. I love it. I love it.
That's going to be crazy watching boxing at 4 in the fucking morning, man.
I know, right? It's not like we haven't done it before, but, you know.
Yeah.
All right. And then next Saturday, May 11th from Australia on ESPN+. Plus. And I don't know of the time for this one yet. It'll probably – it's in Australia, so it'll probably be like a 5 o'clock maybe or something along those lines. Vasyl Lomachenko versus George Kambosos Jr., 12 rounds for the vacant IBF lightweight title. Carlos Quadras versus Andrew Maloney. This is a good, good fight. I like it a lot. 12 rounds for Quadras, WBC interim junior bantamweight title. And that's about it on that. I mean, it's a full card, but those are the main fights here. There's a WBA women's bantamweight title that nobody cares about. Even Beeb doesn't care about it.
I like certain fights, certain fighters, but you're starting to corrupt me when it comes to
right.
boxing. Yeah,
I'm right. I'm not even corrupting you. I'm just right.
Yeah.
It's what I'm telling you, man.
A lot of peer pressure on this show when you're turning me against these females.
And then on Peacock, there's going to be, this is on May 11th, Jessica McCaskill versus Lauren Price, and again, another throwaway fight.
I actually like that fight.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I agree with you. And then on DAZN on May 11th from Mexico, Eduardo Hernandez versus Daniel Lugo, 10 rounds, junior lightweights. That's on DAZN. So the one to watch this weekend is going to be the Lomachenko-Kambosos fight.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, Lance Meyer says, I thought you were a free thinker, Beeb. Listen, I'm persuasive. It just what it is.
This guy has these Jedi mind tricks that he can put on me sometimes, man.
Jedi. May the 4th was yesterday. May the 4th be with you. That Star Wars thing, right?
Yeah.
How did they come out? Like they probably make a fortune off of that. Can you imagine how much money Star Wars makes off of that?
Oh, yeah.
Insane. Insane. All right, let's go to the news and rumors here. Big news this week, Ryan Garcia. Crazy Ryan failed his drug test, immediately goes to social media to call nonsense, blames on ashwagandha root or something like that. Listen, he doesn't have a point here, but I will say this, that those supplements and everything, they're not regulated. They can put whatever they want in there. You know this as well as I do. They've had like legit steroids on that
aisle. You're finally starting to listen now when I used to tell you this stuff, man.
However, there is a caveat. Ryan, according to the drug protocols and everything, he is supposed to submit everything he's taking. And if it's ashwagandha root or if it's anything like that, he is supposed to submit that. Did he? I don't know. And if they test a bottle of supplements or whatever and they find it was in there and he bought it from a legitimate source, well, then we got something else. However, he cheated. Of course he cheated. He popped dirty. You know, his test came back. The A sample came back. What do you think? The B sample is going to be any different? You know what I mean? He's dirty. Of course he was doing something. And listen, it doesn't matter. Why? In the grand scheme of things, does this not matter? Listen, even if that fight is changed to a no contest.
Won't be.
Even if it is. Doesn't matter? The world saw you getting, you know, knocked down, you know, and knocked around the entire fight.
Yeah.
You lost that fight. You didn't win. You lost. The world saw you lose.
Now I'm starting to turn you against this Vada bullshit now. Yeah.
It's pointless. It's pointless to have the Vada.
Thank you.
It really is.
Thank
it's pointless.
Thank
because
you.
Nothing happens.
If you,
Eric, and what, you're there. Right. And you're right. I was listening to your video. You're 100% right because you said, okay, what are they going to do? Suspend him for 6 months?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Here's the problem.
He's already
Here's the
fought.
Problem. Here's the problem, Eric, right? This is why people get mad when I say this, right? Well, how can you be in it? Because everyone is a bunch of virtue signalers out there. They don't give two fucks. They just pretend they do. You got VADA, right? They'll just flag you for anything, right? Pass or fail, whatever. They don't investigate. And then when they can't suspend you. They can't do anything.
No.
All they do is they just – what
they
good
give
are
the
they
–
What good are they? Like, you know what that's like?
No, but they give the reports. They're great. They give the reports. They give you the stuff. They're not going to investigate. But listen, you pee in a cup and you give it to them. That's their role.
I know, but here's the problem, Eric.
Everything else is up to the commissions.
But USADA will investigate. They'll hand down the punishment.
They're also more expensive. That's why they don't use them.
But you get what you pay for.
Well, sure.
Why? What's the sense of having VADA, right, when the commission's going to turn around and say, oh, well, this wasn't a commission test, so it doesn't count.
Well, then, that's the commission, though. But that's the commission, though. You guys are paying for VADA. If the fighters are going to be – you know as well as I know what this is all about. This is about appearances. That's all it is.
If you're a fighter, if you and I are fighters, right, and we're paying for VADA testing, right, and we know if one of us tests positive, nothing's going to happen to the guy, and if I lose, it's not going to get changed. Like Alicia Bumgarner, her fight still stood. She still kept her belt. All these fighters that nothing happened to, right? And, you know, even with Canelo, with the clenbuterol, now that there's actually an allowable limit. So if Canelo would have have that same amount of clenbuterol in the system today, he wouldn't have failed the test. So again, you guys, they need to, you know, do the research. They need to like look at each situation and not do this as a pass or fail. And if you're going to use them, then it has to be accepted that if they find something in your system, whatever, then it has to be respected, right? You can't say, oh, well, it wasn't a UCAD test.
It's up to them. It's up to the commission. That's why I say it's all for appearances. If we're going to do this, why are the fighters spending money? Why are you charging them for this? It's for appearances. That's part of the commission fee. It's just for appearances. It's nonsense. It's complete nonsense.
So nothing's going to happen, in my opinion. The decision's not going to get overturned.
It doesn't matter if it does. Does not matter in the slightest if it does.
And he's just going to get a slap on the wrist.
Again, it doesn't matter if it's – listen, he came in overweight. He gave you X amount of dollars, you know, $1.5 million, you know, he came in overweight. What? And all this other stuff, he took – what did they take, 20% of his purse?
He took like $1.5 million or something like that. So,
well, that's what he said he gave him. But I think the commission also comes – I don't know if the commission also came in and fined him 20%.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they did. But again, if he has lawyers – like Conor Benn had lawyers, and, you know, Conor Benn still went on to fight. You know, he didn't get suspended, right? So if he has lawyers, what the argument's going to be is, oh, I passed my commission test. This is third-party testing.
Right.
What does this matter? Again, like, what does this – and then you're testing the day before and the day of the fight. What does that do if you're not going to get the results back till after the fight? Why even test at that time?
Well, they said the Garcia's test came back. Wasn't it before the fight, wasn't it?
No, after.
Was it after?
2 weeks later.
Yeah. It is what it is.
So, again.
We need to know, Joe, so we could suspect.
But once you get the information, you don't do anything with it. So what is the purpose? If you were going to if you said we're going to overturn the decision if he's positive, and we're going to suspend him for a year, right? Then I can see. But if you're going to test him just for the sake of saying you tested him and nothing, it's like a traffic cop who gives out tickets, but the people he gives tickets to don't have to pay the tickets.
Right.
Oh, we're just letting you know you broke a law, but there's no punishment for it.
Yeah.
Then what the fuck are you there for?
Right. I agree.
And then again, you know, if you're going to flag him for trace amounts and metabolites, which are consistent with possibly tainted supplements, then why release it? Like, do an investigation, like, before you, like, say he tested positive or whatever. So, like the clenbuterol situation. They ran Canelo's name through the mud, and then they ended up saying to themselves, hey, you know what? The amount that was in his system from the research we've done, they've actually changed the allowable amount where – if he were to have that same amount, I hate to repeat myself, but I just want to hammer this point home. If he had that same amount today in his system, that would not be a negative test. That would not be a positive test. He would have tested negative. So that's the thing. Like, they need to get on board, because you had all those fighters. They were saying, oh, all the Reynoso-trained fighters are testing positive. Something must be up. Yeah, they're all Mexican, and they're eating Mexican meat. Of course it's something. That's what it is.
It's not like fucking Reynoso is giving him, again, oh, well, they're micro. Who's going to take, when you're taking fucking clenbuterol tablets, 6 milligrams at a time, and you're taking fucking ostrine tablets that are 5 to 10 milligrams at a time. If you're taking those tabs, and they're going to stay in your system anywhere from fucking 9 to 2 weeks, 9 days to 2 weeks, okay? You're not going to have a fucking metabolite in your system. That's a tainted supplement, in my opinion. I'm just telling you. But again, the lawyers are going to work it out. I don't think anything's going to happen. And this whole pass or fail system needs to be changed. And if you're going to use the testing, then make it mean something. Don't just test to say, hey, we did it, and not do anything about it.
You know who the most legitimate sport in the world is right now? It's professional bodybuilding. I'll tell you that right now. Because they know they're all cheating. Every single one of those dudes. They've got two divisions. They've got a professional bodybuilders, and then they've got natural bodybuilders or whatever?
A natural bodybuilders, and they just have
They get tested and all that other, but the other kind, they don't get tested. Why? And nobody cares because these guys are monsters.
In professional bodybuilding, there's only one thing you can't – they don't let you take diuretics because the diuretics are very dangerous and people can get
– that's where they draw the line?
Yeah.
Stop it. Stop it. Yeah, you can have this. We just plugged it in the source of the Kentucky Derby, but you can have it for your next bodybuilding show. You can take this. This is awesome.
That's hilarious.
But don't take that diuretic. Don't take the water pills that you get
Let me ask you this. Stop. What do you think is going to happen with this whole situation?
Nothing's going to happen. And even if, again, and I'll go back to it, even if they decide to strip Ryan Garcia of the win, none of it matters. Because we all saw you on national TV knock this guy from pillar to post the entire fight.
Yeah.
One-sided. Completely one-sided. Nobody's going to watch that again.
Yeah.
Who's going to watch it again?
And again, you know, like I said, we go back in history and we look at all the situations where people test positive for the VADA test, but they pass the commission test. And then the argument is, oh, it wasn't a commission test. We can't do anything about it, or we're not going to do anything about it. WBC, they're going to clear them. They clear everybody,
mm-hmm.
right?
You know what's the worst about the whole drug, like the whole drug thing? Manny Pacquiao was accused of taking drugs, never popped dirty, never, not once. Never.
Yeah.
And he was just accused of taking them. For what? Because Mayweather didn't want to fight him in his prime.
Yeah.
Like it or not, that's what it was.
That could be an argument.
He said, I'm not risking my life to fight this guy because he's not clean. You don't know he's not clean. Come on.
Yeah,
stop it. He's never tested bad.
And Mayweather could have been the one doing the stuff too. Who knows?
Right, right. Better be injured. That fight with Bivol is postponed. He suffered a ruptured meniscus while training. Beeb, you know a little something about that?
Yeah. He'll be out for 12 weeks before he can do anything, because again, it's one thing if you're a weekend warrior like me who's not fucking twisting and turning and pivoting and stuff off your knee. When I tore my meniscus, you know, I was back in the gym, but I wasn't really doing any, I was even still doing like light leg work, but I wasn't like pivoting and twisting and turning and jumping rope and shit like that. I was on ellipticals, you know, and stuff like that. But for him, boxing training is like the worst for your knees because you're constantly pivoting. You're constantly twisting and torquing your knees when you're throwing punches. So, and you're bouncing up and down when you're moving and stuff.
Constant movement.
So for him to be able to do that type of training, he won't be able to do that for 12 weeks. But he'll probably do a rehab, but probably he can still do some low-impact cardio and stuff like that. He'll be able to go into a pool, be able to do, like, elliptical stuff, maybe walk on a treadmill.
Yeah.
But he won't be shadow boxing in mirrors and in rings and skipping rope and any of that sparring and hitting bags or anything like that, because he won't be able to twist his knee. He won't be able to do that.
Yeah. Boots Ennis next fight will be in Philadelphia against Cody Crowley. Cody Crowley, Beeb, whose last KO was in 2018.
Yeah.
The crippler Cody Crowley. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's not a good fight. I know it's in Philadelphia. I know it's a homecoming and it's a soft touch. I get that.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's hard to get excited about that, but
it really is. Yeah, and I love Boots Ennis, but
unless you're from Philly, like Philly Drew.
Philly Drew, yeah, Philly Drew's already down for it, you know.
Shout out to Philly Drew. We'll let Philly Drew have it, get his flowers, man. That's a Philly. I mean,
there you go.
It's very rare that you get the fights in Philadelphia, so
which is crazy because it's such a big fight town.
Yeah, it used to be a big fight town, but yeah, you know, kind of fell off a little bit.
Fell off now. Ever since ECW went under.
Yeah. Shout out to Philly Drew.
Mike Tyson and Jake Paul is a fully sanctioned fight. The Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation has reportedly agreed to sanction the Tyson-Paul fight as a professional 8-rounder with 2-minute rounds, 14-ounce gloves, and no headgear. What? 14-ounce gloves and no headgear. Listen, if you're gonna say, hey, let's do it, let's do it. Do a 3-minute 10-round and put 10-ounce gloves on, 8-ounce gloves, whatever.
Here's the thing. Jake Paul's been fighting 3-8s, and he's been fighting with 10-ounce gloves. This is like such a step back for him. But again, it is Mike Tyson. But again, it's like a 60-year-old. Mike.
And you know what? He's favored. Jake Paul is favored in this fight.
Yes.
He is the favorite.
Think about that.
Yeah. But he's 58, though. That's the thing. And that's the thing what I keep saying, man. They're like, Mike Tyson's going to destroy him. Tyson's 58.
Do you think this will be like the Roy Jones fight where they just kind of had a silent agreement that we're just going to hit each other in the body, we're not going to try to go at each other? Or do you think Jake
Paul? I think it's possible. It depends.
If
Jake Paul knows he can get him, or if Jake Paul gets him, you know, hurt or something like that, yeah, I can see that agreement. Yeah, I can see that agreement. Sure.
Jake Paul's crazy, though. Like, he's the type of dude that will probably, like, agree to that, but then maybe renege on it and then try to, like, really sucker punch Mike or something. I don't know. Am I wrong for thinking that?
No. But speaking of sucker punches, this is beautiful here. Aaron Bupenza, not a lot of you guys know who he is. We know who he is because he plays on FC Cincinnati. He's a soccer player on FC Cincinnati. And if you guys have ever watched professional soccer, you know they flop. Every time they get hit, they flop down like they look like a fish out of water, you know?
Yeah, it's horrible.
So this guy, Bupenza, was coming out. This is in Cincinnati, coming out of a bar at 2 a.m. and claims that he was sucker punched and got his jaw broken. The guy was 17-2 professional fighter, Quishon Toler, who allegedly broke Bupenza's jaw. Bupenza says that he was sucker punched by Toler. Now, let me tell you this. Beeb, you know this as well as I do. There is no way that guy sucker punched you. None. If that fight goes down, listen, because you got hit first does not mean you got sucker punched. All right? There's no way a guy that's 17-2 sucker punched you. There's just, it didn't happen. All right? And he says he's innocent anyway, but I'm just saying.
Listen,
these guys mess with people you guys don't know.
If you go up in somebody's face and you start talking shit and you invade their space, you get close to them, you become confrontational, you raise your voice, and you're sitting there thinking you're going to be able to do that and nothing's going to come at you.
Yeah.
And then someone steals off on you when you're right there. It's not like they hit you from behind or anything, but you're looking them right in the eye and they steal off on you and they clock you. That's not a sucker punch. Don't put yourself in business. Don't invade people's spaces. Don't become confrontational with somebody. Don't raise your voice.
If you come within arm's distance of me, trust me, it will not be a sucker punch.
It's not a sucker punch.
You're going to get hit. You just got hit. You didn't get suckered. Your jaw broken. Listen, you're playing soccer. This guy's in the ring hitting people. All right? And if that did go down, like I said, no way it was a sucker punch. Absolutely not. And I like FCC and I like soccer, but listen, come on.
You just didn't think that the guy was going to hit you. You thought you could sit there and talk your shit.
Because you're an MLS guy.
Yeah, and nothing was going to happen to you.
Dude doesn't stay in and day out, son.
So it's not like you were sucker punched. You got hit with a punch that you didn't expect that was going to be thrown at you.
Yeah.
Learn how to slip, dude.
And right, exactly.
Okay,
it's a little bit different than getting shouldered on the field, let me tell you that.
Yeah. Next time.
Right. But Kayshawn says, hey, he's innocent. He didn't have anything to do with it. So you know what? I believe it. And he's more than welcome to come on here. Because, hey, we're practically neighbors. Cincinnati, baby.
Yeah.
Ohio. Dude, you get to mess with somebody from Ohio, really?
Nah, man.
No way.
Someone pulls out their license and flashes it and says they're from Ohio, man.
You're walking the other way. You're on the other side of the street now. Doesn't matter. Title Town, baby.
You want the keys to the car? Here you go.
Keys to the car.
Wallet? Yeah. Let me take the baby pictures out first.
That's right. That's right. 917, New York. You're live.
What's going on, guys? Raphael from New York.
Raphael, what's happening?
I was one of those guys that had called the week before the Ryan and Haney fight, and I had called Ryan upsetting Haney.
You did.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I had told you guys that it was going to be probably a shocker to a lot of people just because of the size and the speed. And, you know, Ryan was most likely wasn't coming there to box. Otherwise, he was going to get out boxed because Haney's IQ is pretty good. But surprisingly enough, Ryan did look sloppy in there. And, you know, it was kind of obvious that he looked – I kept saying in my head, hey, listen, if Garcia would have been in the shape that he was versus Duarte, he probably would have taken him out in less than 8 rounds. But nonetheless, the whole thing with the PEDs, you know, it's kind of disappointing the fact how this thing has played out, because two things. There's a couple of things that don't make sense. Number one.
All right, Raphael, real quick, because you got a bad connection here. What happens? Ryan Garcia has just gotten popped for PEDs. What happens? Does this matter at all? Does anything happen?
Well, Ryan Garcia's stardom right now is so big that he's practically doing kind of like the Trump thing where it's fake news, it doesn't matter, and his fans are going to support him.
What's
no
the final
what.
Outcome, though? What's the final outcome? We know he's going to deny it. What's the final outcome?
I think he's probably going to get suspended for 6 months. They may change it to a no contest, and it is what it's going to be. You know, his stardom is so big that they need him in boxing because he's going to make a lot of money. He brings another portion of fans that boxing just doesn't have. So that's my take on that.
There you go. All right, Raphael, we got to get going, man. He's got to get a new phone, man. What was that? Kevin says county lockup phone. Yeah, that was crackling and everything. HLD, Beeb, says you never laugh at any of his jokes.
All the time.
He's got to be funny first, right? That's one of the criteria.
All the time.
That's one of the criteria. There you go. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And you can find me on X at ringside73. And you can find Beeb on X at jhabib1. We'll see you guys next week.